G'day everyone. Here we are on a Saturday afternoon. What better thing to do than to worship the Lord together? I might just pray on our behalf and make a start. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We just praise you that you're an extraordinary God. And even though sometimes life can feel a bit ordinary and we feel a bit ordinary ourselves, that doesn't make any difference to you and to who you are. So we just want to focus on you this afternoon and worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to do that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get you to stand and we'll sing together.
My Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near. From the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you lived and you died, you rose again on high. You opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah, all you have done.
My Savior,
my Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near. From the everlasting to the world we live, Father's only Son. You live and you died and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah, all you've done.
You came near.
You came near from the everlasting to the world we live, Father's only Son.
Sing that again.
You came near from the everlasting to the world we live, Father's only Son. And you lived and you died and you rose again on high. You open the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done.
One more time.
Hallelujah for all you've done.
Christ, I stand.
Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live.
There in the ground of the world by darkness slain,
then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, his curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his. Just blood of Christ.
No guilt in life, no fear in death.
This is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry.
Love that song, there's so much in it. Fourth verse starts off with the line, no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. I love that line, no guilt in life. Guilt's not a very popular idea in our society at the moment, and for the world around us, and we find ourselves, I find myself, doing some of these things, we find ways of trying to deal with guilt ourselves. That's not to be advised, but it's hard not to do it. So, for example, we feel guilty about something, there's a whole range of things, responses we might find ourselves in the middle of. For example, repetition is a good one. If I keep doing this long enough, I'll stop feeling guilty about it. That's one. Balancing is another one. That's my personal favourite. That's, if I do this, then this is bad. But then if I do something good, I'll balance them out, so it'll turn out okay in the end. That's a good one. Or complete denial, just pretend that the whole thing's not happening and think about something else. That's a good one. Or comparison. Comparison is a hard one not to do, where, like, what I'm doing is pretty bad, but you should see what that guy over there is doing. That's way worse. All of those are false ways of dealing with guilt. And if we understand that guilt is given to us by God, if you like, to tell us that something is the matter. It's a register in our deep within us that says something's not right here. There's something not right in your life that you need to sort out. And so that's why the song says no guilt in life. In Christ, we can come with our guilt, and the whole process starts with admitting it, admitting our sins to God, knowing the forgiveness that comes to us through Jesus, and then we can sing the song, no guilt in life. It's not that we're better than anyone else, it's just that we know that we're forgiven. And so we're going to celebrate that now as we break bread together. I'll give you, if you have a few minutes, to just take some time to be still before the Lord. The way we like to do things at Subi is, once you've got the bread and the cup, if you take it back to your seat, and we like to take them together, so I'll pray, you'll get a clue to when that's going to happen. So until then, you've got some time just to be still. I'll get the first five or so rows, if you guys don't mind standing up and getting us started. Can I also say, if you're visiting today, or you wouldn't call yourself a Christian at this point, if you're in the seeking part of the process, then we just ask you to leave this part of the service aside for now, and we'd be happy to explain to you why we think that's so important afterwards. Says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Now I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread. After supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup. Let's pray together. And he goes on to say, "Keep doing this till Jesus returns. Remember him and what he's done for you." So that's what we're doing today. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you that there's no guilt in life for those of us know you because of what Jesus has done. Praise your name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing a song in response to that. Bit of an old one.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in blood. This is my story. praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising
say hi to someone round about or in front and then take a seat.
Well, good evening, church. It's great to see you tonight. If you're visiting with us, a special warm welcome to you on behalf of the church. My name's David, and it's great that you're here with us. And if you are right now in January looking around for a church to make your spiritual home, we'd love you to consider making Subi Church your home. Before the kids go out to their time of kids' church, what we've been doing as a church, if you are new, so this doesn't come as a surprise, we've been learning scripture for the last year. We've been learning a verse every month. And we're not going to rest on our laurels, but we're going to continue this year, and we're going to try and build up a collection of Bible verses that get really deep down in our hearts, and that word can do its work in our lives. And so we have a new one this January. If you're here last week, you would know that, but we've got a new one this January. There should be a card around you. If this helps you to jog your memory, then use it. We've actually made things 10 times easier for you this year. We've written the month there in the corner, so that will just make things a whole lot easier for you. But we're kind of selecting some of the verses that some of the most popular verses. Because some of the most popular verses, because they're some of the verses that really help us to understand the gospel. And this one, John 3:16, is one of the clearest explanations of the Christian message. And this is a really good one for you to know off by heart, for your own edification, but also to be able to share with others. When you perhaps don't have a Bible with you, you can share it with someone. So why don't we say this together? We say the book and then chapter 3, verse 16. Should we say this together? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gospel in 26 words. You can write it on a napkin. You can share it with someone very easily. And the thing I love about this verse is that it tells you what the good news is. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. It tells people that they need to respond. It doesn't happen automatically. They need to believe. And thirdly, it tells them that there are consequences whether they believe or not. And that's why it's such a good explanation of the gospel. It gives the good news. It tells them that they need to do something, and it tells them the consequences. All right, so try and have a go remembering that this week. Young ones, it's time now for you to go off to your time of kids' church. If you haven't yet scanned your QR code, please do that at some point today. But on the chair in front of you, if you scan that little code in front of you, that will take you to our electronic Connect card. Our regulars know all about this. But this is a great way of us being able to connect with you, you being able to connect with the church. It's a way of you RSVPing for any of the events that we tell you about. But also, it's an opportunity for you to give us your prayer requests. We know in these times of trouble and turmoil that there are prayers, that you have prayers on your heart that you'd like to share and have the staff and the elders pray for you. And we'd love to do that, confidentially, of course, but we'd love to pray with you. So please let us know. So if you like the old school physical Connect card, you can still get those at the back and put them in the box on the way out. Come now to a time of offering. You'll notice here at Subi Church, we don't give you a 20-minute sermon to try and twist your arm to give. We don't do that. Theologically, we don't think we need to do that. But that doesn't mean that we don't think giving is any less important. It is an important part of our lives as we give to the work of the Lord. He doesn't need our money, but he chooses to partner with us. And so we encourage you this year to sign up electronically to give. That would be a great help for you, I think, getting your affairs in order, giving. It also helps us to plan for our budgeting. Let me pray and thank our great God for what he's given us and to commit this money to him. Father in heaven, we thank you for all you've done for us, sending of the Lord Jesus, the most precious gift of all. And we pray that the money that is collected this weekend might go to making that good news known here and beyond, in Jesus' name. Amen. Three really quick announcements. The first one is that next weekend, the youth won't be here. They'll be on camp. 21st to 24th. If you haven't signed up your teenager, your year 7 to year 12, to camp, it runs out tomorrow. So you need to get in by tomorrow. My teenager is going. We're going to get the heck out of there while he's gone and take that opportunity. But that's not why he's going. It's going to be a great time for the youth to make friends, to get into God's Word. There's some great activities that they're going to be doing. There's soft tag, there's canoeing, archery tag. So lots of great things. They're going to hear the word. They're going to be surrounded by good Christian leaders. So please, if you haven't yet signed up for that, please do that. Second announcement is that next Wednesday is our hour of prayer. This year we're going to be meeting physically. We've been over the last 18 months, as you know, we've been meeting remotely via Zoom, but we're going to meet physically in the cafe, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. There will still be an opportunity to meet via Zoom if you would prefer that. It also allows us to connect with our missionaries across the globe. But that will be this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So please come down. If you haven't been to one of those before, why don't you come down, check it out. It's an opportunity for us to pray together, pray for our neighbourhood, for our nation. And the third announcement is that on Australia Day, which this year is on the 26th of January, Australia Day, on the Wednesday, we have a prayer walk. We've traditionally, over the last number of years, done a prayer walk on Wednesday morning, on the 26th on the morning. This year it's a Wednesday, and we're going to be prayer walking around the neighbourhood. We're not going to look weird, but we're going to be walking and just praying for certain areas of our neighbourhood to keep us focused. So if you'd like to be part of that, we're going to meet here at 7:55 on the Wednesday morning. And then at 9 o'clock, we're going to be going into the cafe and praying. So please think about coming to that. Thank you.
Good evening, church. The Bible reading for this weekend is Hebrews 11, verses 7 to 13. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them at a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth.
Thank you, Kendrick. Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter of the Bible, and we need to be reminded on a regular basis, we live by faith and not by sight. That's how we live. In fact, we are foreigners, strangers on this planet. Our home is with Christ. And that's where all of us who are in Christ will go one day because we have believed in the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Last week, I started a series and wanted to introduce it by just recognizing we're in a brand new year, and a brand new year is going to bring brand new challenges, and there's always things that come up, things that we cannot foresee. And I spoke that first in this same service just a week ago, and on the third row often sits Eli, and Eli was there, Eli Sassine. He did not know at that time that his son had died that day, his 20-year-old son. And I'm telling you that Reuben, who is part of this church, part of SUBI Youth, and I looked at a number of pictures. He was at church camp with youth a number of years, and he is with the Lord. And that family is grieving. And Eli made it very clear to me, as I've met with him a number of times this week, that we grieve, but not like those who have no hope. And our hope is in Christ, our hope is in the gospel, and we know that we will see our son again. But I just want to show you one screen because this week we will have the services for Reuben. So it'll be this coming Friday on the 21st of January at noon here at the church. And again, very much a part of our church family. He's part of SUBI Youth and graduated from that and has had begun a career, and he is with the Lord. So the family is truly grieving, and they appreciate the prayers of this church, those who have come around them, and we want to be there. If those who can be there this Friday, let's be there. We'll grieve with them, and we'll hope with them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm just going to give you a moment just to intercede on behalf of the family, a dear Christian family, for the father Eli and mother Samar, for the brother Leroy, and then bring whatever burdens, whatever challenges in your life right now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are Almighty God. And we sang that song tonight, and it means something even more important, that no guilt in life, no fear in death, for Jesus Christ is victorious over sin and death. And Lord, for those who are in Christ, we know we have no need to hide our sins from you. We confess them to you. And we look to Jesus Christ, who is sufficient, who is Lord, who is Savior, who died for sinners like us on a Roman cross. He was buried, and the third day he rose again. And Lord, that is a truth that we cling to, we believe in it, and you promise life, eternal life. It shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so, Lord, we need you. We desperately need you now, for the days ahead, for the challenges ahead. We recognize that we live in a very dangerous world. There is COVID, there is international tension. But most of all, there is Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And we look to him in faith. Father, for all who are here, who are seeking your grace, your mercy, for their life, or for the life of a loved one, we just pray that you would minister to them right now. And we do thank you that we have faith in Christ, and Jesus Christ lives. In Christ's name. Let me just highlight again, David mentioned there's a couple of prayer opportunities coming up, and I'm going to highlight this more than once today, but I was texting with Rebecca San Miguel. Some of you know she's one of our missionaries. She's right now in the Philippines, and she has COVID, and so we're going to be in prayer for her. She's going to try to meet with us via Zoom for the hour of prayer, and so we just have a lot to pray about, and I've met with Stuart Beattie, who's going to be heading up the pastoral search committee. He's going to be sharing about that as well. And so we've just got a number of things to pray about, not the least of which, this will be the last hour of prayer before the international borders are going to come down. And so we need to be in prayer. And so I'm going to encourage that as an act of faith. And we're going to talk about faith today. So let me begin. This was an autumn in America, and many of you know the Native Americans are often called Indians, and so I'm just going to use those terms interchangeably, but there was a modern Native American chief, tribal chief, and in history was that that person, that chief, would be able to go out and discern the skies and determine whether they were going to have a mild or a very cold winter. And so his people came to him that autumn and said, you know, chief, are we going to have a mild or a very cold winter? And he wasn't able to determine to look at the sky and figure that out. And so just to be safe, he says, I think you need to be collecting some firewood for the winter. It could be cold. A couple of weeks later, he determines he's going to call Meteorological Society, the local society, and just ask, you know, what do you foresee? Is it going to be mild or is it going to be cold this winter? And the weatherman picked up the phone and said, we think it's going to be cold. And so the chief goes back to his tribe and he says, you know, I'm pretty confident it's going to be cold. Maybe you better collect some more firewood. So they go out and they start collecting more firewood. A week later, he calls the meteorologist again, and he says, you know, I'm still trying to check about what's happening for this winter. Are you sure it's going to be cold, quite cold? And the meteorologist says, no, we think it's going to be very cold this coming winter. So the chief goes back to his tribe and he says, now just gather anything you can that's going to be firewood. Just look for it and gather it wherever you can. I think it's going to be very cold. So he calls the meteorologist one more time. And he says, now you've told me it's going to be very cold. And the meteorologist says, yes, we think it's going to be one of the coldest winters on record. And the chief says, how do you know this? And the meteorologist says, well, the Indians have been collecting firewood like crazy. Now, the point is pretty obvious. Where are you putting your faith? And for the tribe, they're putting their faith in the chief, and the chief is putting his faith in the meteorologist, and the meteorologist is putting his faith in the Indians. And where we put our faith matters. What is the object of our faith? And what is Jesus-pleasing faith look like? Because faith is important, and we see even in this passage, Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, absolutely impossible. So we know it's really important to God. But what does that look like? We're going to look at this concept of an outsider again. Last week we looked at a leper who was outside the city. He was unclean. But now we're going to look at a Gentile, a Roman centurion. And the issue is going to be faith. And Jesus is going to point out faith is key here. And for me, when we think about the object of our faith, it's always going to be more important than the uncertainty of our fears. And as I said last week, we don't know what this year has in store. For any of us who think so naively that COVID only happens in other countries or in the eastern states or to people we don't know, that's not true. But the object of our faith is more important than the uncertainty of our fears. Faith matters. What I want to do is challenge your faith. And where's your faith? And is it God-pleasing, Jesus-pleasing faith? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll begin reading verse 5, and we'll pick up Matthew 8 as we've heard the story of the man with leprosy who came to Jesus. Now there's another man who's very much an outsider, and he comes to Jesus again. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read from Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus heard this, and he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I've not seen anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subject of the kingdoms will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. You may be seated. So three ideas, 3 points. First, faith matters to me and those I love. We have a centurion who comes to Jesus. The name, as it pretty clearly states, originally meant that the man was in charge of 100 soldiers. He's a Gentile. He's an outsider. The leper, remember, was, because he was unclean, had to remain outside of walled cities. As it relates to the temple, the leper could never even enter Jerusalem or the temple. This man is a Gentile. He's allowed to enter Jerusalem. He's allowed to enter the temple courts, but only the courts of the Gentiles. That's as close as he can come to that glorious presence of God in the temple area. That's as close as he can come. He's a Gentile. Religious Jews considered centurions unclean. They're part of the unclean race. They were a symbol of oppression to Israel. The thing that's interesting to me is in this passage, and again, we may not pick it up because the Greek is going to be a little bit helpful to us here, but it's not the typical word for servant. And some of you know that's doulos, and this is not the typical word for servant. It is a Greek word that shows affection. And so he speaks of this servant not as someone who's just there as a paid or hired servant, but one that he treats more like a son, and he has that type of relationship. He's more than just a personal servant. He's like a son to me. And he's suffering. He's paralyzed. Like the leper, the centurion says, "Lord, if you want to." The centurion makes no request. He just states the fact, "My servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." That's all he says. Here's what we know about faith. Faith talks to the Lord. Faith is not hesitant on talking to the Lord. Often we don't know exactly what to say. There's not magic words that people of faith say to the Lord. Sometimes we don't even know how to ask it. Sometimes all we can do is simply say what the centurion says. "I have a servant I care about. He's paralyzed. He's suffering." Sometimes I think our prayers get too complicated. Sometimes all we need to do is just simply state the problem. That's enough. "My son, my daughter, my friend, suffering." That's enough. It's asking for help. When we spoke about the leper spoke for himself. When we speak about the centurion, he speaks for his servant. The question might be this: who does God help? Now think about that. Who does God help? I'm going to give you some simple principles on intercessory prayer. An intercessory prayer means we're interceding on behalf of another, not praying for ourselves, but interceding on behalf of another. So here's the first principle. Don't make prayers too complicated. I'm just going by the centurion, and Jesus likes the faith of the centurion, and he doesn't make it real complicated. He just states the concern, the problem. Frederick Dale Bruner, in his commentary on Matthew, says this: "Faith mainly talks to the Lord. It often hardly knows what to ask him or how to ask it. Sometimes all one needs to do is state the problem. The how and the what of help are the Lord's business. Lord, my son is in terrible pain." That's enough. Don't make it too complicated. Let me give you a contrast. Let's go to Mount Carmel at the time of Elijah. Remember, Elijah calls the prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of Baal, and he says, "Here, we're going to have a sacrifice." And the prophets of Baal, they get the first one. So they have that time of prayer where they pray. And if you remember the story in 1 Kings, these prophets of Baal, they are very animated. They're dancing around. They're shouting. They are trying to get the attention of their God, who may not be very interested in hearing their request, and that's what they're doing. And as it carries on, the more and more hysterical they get, they begin to cut themselves because they need to get the attention of their God. That's a pagan prayer. That's how pagans pray. We've got to get our attention from our God because he may not care about me. He may not be listening. He may not be available at this moment. That's how pagans pray. Then you have Elijah. And Elijah just simply prays to God. And he talks to God like you would talk to another. And he just asks that God's glory would be seen. And so he humbly prays to God. It doesn't take shouting. It doesn't take a lot of gestures. He just prays to God. And God answers with fire. Don't make prayer too complicated. If that discourages you from praying because you say, I don't really know how, don't make it too complicated. The second simple principle is this: intercession works. That's just a very simple principle. Intercession works. How do I know that? Because who's praying? Who's talking to Jesus in this case? Is the servant talking to Jesus? No. The servant is at home paralyzed. We don't even know about the servant's faith. You realize that? Family, friends who pray in faith can make a big difference. That's what we need to believe. Intercession works. Let me put it this way. This passage is going to encourage prayer for children, parents, friends, regardless of their faith. That's not the point here. Intercessory prayer is you praying in faith, and it's not a matter of their faith. It's you praying in faith to the God who listens. Well, who is blessed here? Well, the servant's healed. We know that at the end of the story. The centurion is blessed. But Jesus is also blessed. He is astonished, and God is honored because faith is being exhibited. Faith matters to me. Faith matters to those I love. Faith matters to the God I serve. And that leads us to our second point. Faith matters to God, and I want to highlight that. So Jesus begins and he says, I will go or shall I go? It's hard to determine what he exactly means there. But do you want me to go or I will go? Either way, it's clear that Jesus is willing to go, and he's willing to go and enter the home of the Roman centurion. By the way, it's ceremonially unclean. He is not to go into that home. It's a Gentile, but Jesus is already willing. And then you have this amazing response of the centurion. And this is where we need to just tag in on this and say, that's the type of faith that Jesus really loves. The centurion first says, I'm unworthy. He's a Roman centurion. He's part of the occupying army. He's part of that superior race of people, the Romans. And yet he says to Jesus, a Jew from Nazareth, I'm not worthy to have you come and enter my home. And then he says, but just say the word. Just say the word. And that's enough. Now, we don't have any record that Jesus ever healed from a distance before. He didn't see it. He just believes that Jesus is above all. And he has authority. And all he has to do is say the word. And so he explains how it works. This is my understanding of authority. Even I, a Roman centurion, can secure action at a distance. I don't have to be there to make things happen. I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under my authority. In the Roman system, it all came from the emperor. The centurion would represent the emperor, and when the centurion spoke, it's as if the emperor spoke. If the centurion says to a man, go, he goes. The centurion doesn't have to follow up on it. It's going to happen. It will happen. That's the authority he has. If he says, come, it will come. If he says to his servant, do this, it will be done. He understands authority. That's how it works. When he's above those people, he understands authority. Jesus, who's above all,
can simply say the word, and he can say the word, and his servant will be healed. That's all you have to do, Jesus. Just say the word. Now, you get the kind of faith that's going on there. Because he doesn't say, no, you have to be there. I have to drag you there, or else it's not going to work. No, all you have to do, Jesus, is say the word. Jesus is above all. Now, what's interesting, in the miracle before, it's a leper, and Jesus, remember, reaches out and he touches the leper. He has authority to heal. But here, the centurion is recognizing that Jesus has some authority over time and space. He doesn't have to be present. Jesus' reaction, he is amazed, he is astonished, there is marvel, there is wonder. I haven't seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. This guy is a Gentile. He has this great faith. You have to think, Jesus is just delighted. He's just absolutely delighted. Let's look over at Hebrews 11 again, and I want to pick up and begin where that passage, where that chapter begins. Verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And then as we go down to verse 6, we have this great statement. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. You haven't seen him, but you believe he exists. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, when he makes a promise in his word, you believe that to be true. And you've never even seen him, and yet you've heard his promises, and you believe he exists, and you believe he's the rewarder of those who seek him. How do I exhibit faith? How should I exhibit faith? I'm going to suggest that prayer is a major way of showing faith. Why do I say that? Because prayer is talking to someone we don't see. It's believing that somehow what I say with my mouth or even in my heart is being heard in heaven by the living God, and he hears it and it matters to him. That's faith. To a non-believer, to an atheist, it looks absolutely ridiculous that you're talking to someone who's not there and someone they don't even believe can hear and doesn't exist. But to us who have faith, we believe we are talking to the living God. Faith matters to God. I'm going to give you an application because in this church, I'm aware 2022 is going to be a very good year for many families in this church. I know of a number of women, young ladies, that are expecting children in this church, including my niece. And one of the things that we can do right now, parents, grandparents, friends, we can pray for those who haven't been born yet. Because God hears those prayers, and he's a God who's above time and space. Why can't I pray for them right now? For their life, for their faith, for their future. Why can't I pray right now? It's just faith. We, some of us, myself included, have people that we have not been able to see for a couple of years. They are separated. And yet, our prayers matter to God. Intercession matters. We need to pray. We need to pray for our missionaries. We send them out into the world, and yet we need to pray. Prayer matters to God. Those who have faith, pray. One of the things I'm going to emphasize this year is that this church, we need to be a church that prays. We want to pray for the next senior pastor. Probably start very late this year or next year, but whenever it is, we need to pray for our children, for our youth. We need to pray as we bring the borders down. We need to pray for our friends and loved ones, but we just need to pray. So we're going to be praying this week on Wednesday night. We're going to be praying on Australia Day, which is a great day to pray for this nation. Faith matters to God. Finally, the third point. Faith connects us to God. And if you look beginning in verse 8, we see that great faith, and Jesus is amazed at it. And then he gives this statement, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, and they will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." So he names the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what is he saying there? He is saying that this centurion, Gentile, he is not a Jew. He is not physically a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This guy is going to be at the Messianic banquet. He's going to sit with the Jewish Messiah at that banqueting table with the patriarchs. Some Jews would just expect where every Gentile is just going to be thrown out into darkness. There is no salvation. There is no hope. But Jesus says something quite different. He says those who are subject to the kingdom, in other words, those who are by their genealogy, Jews, will be thrown out because faith is going to be essential, has always been essential to salvation. It starts with Abraham, and that's what we recognize, even if you go back into Genesis 15, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It is his faith that matters. Jesus says there will be those who will be cast out in utter darkness. They will be removed from joy, from light. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be pain and distress. The Orthodox Jewish belief was that Jesus could not even enter the centurion's home. But here's the centurion coming to the banqueting table of the Messiah. Who's he sitting next to? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What unites them? Faith. William Barclay, in his commentary, again, from a number of decades ago, but a very fine commentary in Matthew, he says this. The Jew had to learn that the passport to God's presence is not membership of any nation, it is faith. The Jew believed that he belonged to the chosen people, that because he was a Jew, he was therefore dear to God. He belonged to God's people, and that was enough automatically to gain him salvation. Jesus taught that the only aristocracy in the kingdom of God is the aristocracy of faith. Jesus Christ is not the possession of any one race of men. Jesus Christ is possession of every man, every person, and every race in whose heart there is faith. And so Jesus is giving this radical teaching very early on in Matthew. What Jesus is teaching is consistent with is what we see later on in the New Testament. I'm going to go over to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and verse 27. Apostle Paul writes, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." Galatia, it's a Gentile church again. Gentile. You are all Gentiles in Christ through faith. You are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are, notice, Abraham's seed, because his seed is not so much a physical descendant, but a spiritual descendant, and heirs of the to the promise. And then going on in chapter 4, just one verse, verse 28. Now you, brothers and sisters, Gentiles, like Isaac, are children of promise. Children of promise. Because of faith. We are recipients of grace grafted into the family of Abraham. And we cannot overemphasize faith. I'm going to go to that great passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The gift of God, God's grace, his salvation, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. I want to point out, faith is the means that we are saved. It is Christ, the object of our faith is Christ's death, burial, resurrection. It is the gospel. That's what our faith is in. Everybody has an object to their faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. And this is the religion of the person on the street. How are you going to get to heaven? Well, I'm just going to try hard enough. I'm just going to try to be good enough. Maybe my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds, and God will know that I'm really trying. But it's not by works. No one's going to boast by that. But we're saved by grace through faith. There's always an object. The object of our faith is like the centurion's, Jesus himself. That he is Jesus above all. He is even above my sin. And he is Lord over life and death. And the gift of God is promised to me. And I am a child of promise. As we live in this day and age, we can live by faith or we can live by fear. I want to go over to Matthew chapter 10, just a couple chapters over, just one verse, and Jesus is going to make a statement. He says, verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What's he saying? You live by faith. You live by faith in the living God. There's a lot of things in this world that can scare us. But we don't live in fear, do we? We can't live in fear. It's not compatible with our faith. We live in faith in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And he is working all things together for my salvation, for my good, and we trust in him. This year, we're going to grow in grace, grow in faith, grow in hope, and grow in prayer. Pray with me. Father, as we've talked about intercessory prayer, Lord, if there's people on our heart right now that we want to pray for, people in another state, people in another land, people who have not received the grace of God yet, people who are grieving, people who are living in fear, we're going to pray for those people right now, Lord. My friend, my loved one, Lord, they need you. And even though we may be separated by space, Jesus, you are above all. Christ.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day.
About faith and prayer together, because that's what people of faith do. We pray to our God because He's there and He listens. And this week we'll have opportunities to pray. You will have private times of prayer. Pray. God hears. If you have a prayer request and you want to put on a connect card, those go to our elders or staff and deacons. We'll pray. We'll intercede. We have our hour of prayer. Sometimes people say, I'm afraid to pray because, or afraid to come because they may expect me to pray publicly out loud. We don't all pray in front of the group, for one. And secondly, we get into smaller groups, and sometimes I'm in a group and I can't even get a word in edgewise because people are praying. So don't worry, you will find people praying. But if you want to pray, it's a great time to pray. Australia Day, we're going to pray together. This year we're going to pray together, and we have a God who hears. Pray with me.
Father, as we go, we do want to bless you and bless others. We want to live lives of faith, and we want to intercede for those that we love and care for. We will rejoice with those who rejoice and grieve with those who grieve. We will exalt Jesus Christ with our lives. Bless us as we go, in Christ's name.